The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Okay, I got to comment on some stuff in the news. In the newscasts I just heard, man. First of all, the CBS National News. And by the way, CBS National News in some hot water for, according to Project Veritas, I'll play you this audio later in the show, for faking, completely faking a coronavirus news story on the CBS Morning News last Friday. But all of that audio for you a little bit later today. Could the anchor have sounded any more depressed about the story that the criminal charges have now been dropped by the Justice Department against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn? This is a guy who was set up, who handwritten notes during trial proved that the country and the world's largest law enforcement agency, the FBI, entrapped Michael Flynn so that they could ruin his life. And now the charges are dropped. And man, I tell you, the CBS anchor sounded just depressed about that. And then Heather's newscast, we have a group that wants to legalize every single drug in the state, which is what we've done in King, not we, which is what Dan Satterberg has done in King County. Oh yeah, that has worked wonders for King County. The heroin attractant, the moth lamp for heroin addicts around the country is King County, where you can have heroin and meth with no fear of prosecution. And you've seen the human toll. You see the homeless encampments, which are mainly filled with people who are addicted to drugs. And now we've got a group that says, hey, let's bring that statewide. And I'm telling you, and I know if you do not live in Seattle, you already know this, but if you let Seattle and King County insanity spread like the coronavirus to the rest of this state, you will be desperately sorry. If we legalize heroin, and by the way, legalizing heroin and meth is a violation of all federal laws, as is legalizing marijuana. But here in Washington, we have politicians who can pick and choose which laws to follow, right? Eh, you can't do that if you're a private citizen. If you open a barber shop in defiance of the governor, oh, there will be problems. But we've got politicians who pick and choose. Drug laws, eh, we don't like them. We're not going to enforce them. Laws against illegals, eh, we don't like them. We're not going to enforce them. But if you or I pick and choose a law to follow or to not follow, whew, jail time. We'll let the 10-time gun felons out of jail for fear they might contract coronavirus. But we'll lock up the business owners in defiance of Jay Inslee, who just want to feed their family. But you know what? I don't even want to talk about coronavirus at the very beginning of the show. No COVID-19 for a couple of minutes here, because there is a story that I just absolutely cannot resist as we begin our Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Oh, he gave us some of the greatest highlights in Seahawks history.
Watson out of the shotgun on 3rd and 10. Miller stays in the backfield. Four-man rush. Watson throws down the middle. It's intercepted. It's Earl Thomas coming back near side. Hooper go. Midfield 40. 35. He's going to go 20. 10. 5. No flags. Touchdown. Seahawks. Earl Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, one of the greatest to ever play the position of safety in the NFL. And now, of course, he's moved on to the Baltimore Ravens. And I will tell you something right now. The Seahawks dodged a bullet in not having Earl Thomas on the team right now, because I'm guessing the Baltimore Ravens PR staff is dealing with an absolute nightmare after the revelation on TMZ that came out last night about Earl Thomas, one of the all-time Seahawk greats. He's lucky to be alive today. So here is the story, according to the police reports, as obtained by TMZ. So the Austin, Texas Police Department got 911 calls from an Airbnb home at 3:40 a.m. There was some kind of a disturbance. So the cops went out to the house, and they saw what they, according to the police documents, they observed a black female wearing an orange sweater with a knife in her hand, later identified as Nina Thomas, Earl Thomas's wife, was chasing a shirtless black male, later identified as Earl Thomas, with a pistol in his hand around a vehicle. Cops drew their weapons, ordered both Nina and Earl to the ground, and that's when the investigation started. And the story is so unbelievably insane. And not just the story, but what Earl Thomas is now saying about the story. So Earl Thomas, as I said, he plays for the Ravens now. He left their home earlier in the day after an argument over his drinking, according to his wife. So, again, all from the police docs. His brother, Seth, picked him up. So then Earl's wife decided, I'm going to see where he is. So she logged into his Snapchat account, and that's where she found video of Earl with another woman. And somehow, I don't know how you can do this. In fact, Nicole, are you hooked up? Are you on the line here? Nicole?
Yes, I'm here.
Nicole Thompson.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. It says that his wife used Earl's Snapchat account to track his location. Can you do that?
Well, Snapchat is not my jam, but I guess so. I mean, there's lots of ways you can track. It might say, I don't know. She probably had it set up on his phone. I don't know how you use Snapchat for that. But somebody's probably going to text us that you can.
I know one possible way you can.
Oh, let me know, Andrew. Oh. What, tell me.
You can decide to share your location on it if you want, and then people who your friends can then open a map and then see where all those people are.
And so it's not just a general location like I'm in Ballard, but it's like a GPS exact location?
Pretty much.
What was he thinking?
I have no earthly idea. Okay, all right, thank you, Andrew. Okay, so Nina used Earl's Snapchat account. In fact, why don't you bring down Nicole's connection, Andrew, since there's some fuzz on it there. There we go. She used his Snapchat account to track his location to a nearby Airbnb rental. She called two other women friends to help her confront Earl at the pad. Nina Thomas says she grabbed Earl's pistol, a 9mm Beretta, with the intention to scare him. So they get to the house, and they find that Earl and his brother Seth were both naked in a bed with at least two other women. So I don't know. I've never had an orgy with my brother. I don't know that I would care to. I find it to be odd that Earl would be naked with his naked brother in bed with naked women. So anyway, his wife Nina gets there. And another critical mistake. Apparently, Earl didn't lock the door at the Airbnb rental. So his wife Nina gets there. She pulls out the gun and she puts it to Earl Thomas's head. Her finger's on the trigger. The safety's off the gun. But she told police, I took the magazine out, so I knew it wasn't dangerous. What Nina didn't know was that there was a bullet in the chamber. And if she had pulled the trigger thinking, I'm just going to fire an empty gun at Earl's head, she would have killed him. So she puts the gun up against his head. And then one of the women in the house that some described as hoes, which is a phrase I'm not familiar with. I just thought a hoe was a gardening tool. This is all new to me. I'm very naive. I grew up a little bumpkin in Ballard. Anyway, so one of the women in the house started recording video of Earl's wife with the gun pointed right at his head. And then Earl wrestles the gun away from his wife. And then his wife hits him in the nose. And Earl has corroborated all of this. In an interview with the mistress, she says that Earl's wife also threatened her and the other women at the house, pointing the gun at them and yelling, "I got something for all you hoes." So if you ask me, the whole thing just sounds like a big darn mess. And, you know, Earl, as great as he was, one of the greatest safeties to ever play the game, one of the greatest Seattle Seahawks in team history. But he's always been just half a click off. When he got married to this woman in 2016, he wore a crown as he walked down the aisle. And it was so ridiculous. And then when he found out earlier yesterday that TMZ had these police documents and they were going to report the story, Earl, while shirtless, and if you're going to give your side of an orgy with your brother and some hose, whatever that means, you should put a shirt on. Personal opinion. But Earl went on Instagram to explain the incident.
I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about this, just keep us in your prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can. But
Hold on. Let me freeze that. Stuff like this happens. Okay. I've got, I don't know, 40,000 people listening right now. And again, I'm admittedly rather sheltered. I've been with the same woman. We started dating when I was 21. I've been with the same woman for 37 years. So I don't know what really happens in the world of playas, but stuff like this happens. And I just want to find out from you, my listeners, does stuff like this just happen? And is this a common occurrence to be naked in bed with your naked brother and and a couple of hoes while your wife's home with your three kids? Does stuff like that just happen? Because, and again, maybe it happens far more often than I am aware. But if you could just let me know, since I am so naive and sheltered, you can text it to me at 98973. I'll go through your text messages here. But is this really the world that I'm not aware of? Stuff like this happens. Okay, let me go back to the beginning. Let me play the whole Earl thing, and I'll try not to interrupt.
I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about this, just keep us in your prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. You know, we're back talking. You know, I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
We're trying to live the best life that we can. Now, the one thing, on a completely serious note, prayers, pray for those kids, man. Married in 2016, they have three children together, and I don't know if any predated the marriage, but pray for the, can you imagine? Mom's pointing a gun with a bullet in the chamber at dad's head. Dad's with his brother. With his brother! I mean, I don't get the whole orgy thing to begin with any man naked alongside. But his brother. But those kids, man. All right, so that's the Earl Thomas story. I just needed, you know what that was? That was our little saltine in between all the coronavirus courses we've been steadily fed for the last couple of months. Just a little something different. And for that, I will thank E.T. Okay, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
At 1:30 this afternoon, the owner of Brown Bear Car Wash is going to come on with me. They were all set to open because the governor said car washes in phase one, but this is so bizarre. Great traditional, you know, foundational Seattle company since the 1950s. And they had a COVID-19 plan, and the government has shut them down. And I wonder if it's because Lance Odermatt, the son of the founder and who now runs the company, I wonder if it's because he talked to me last week and expressed his frustration that he can't, you know, bring his employees back to work. He's been paying them the entire time, almost 400 employees. Anyway, what the government is doing to Brown Bear is what the government is doing to every single one of us. They are picking arbitrarily, capriciously, the winners and the losers. And for some reason, Jay Inslee has decided that he wants to vindictively go after a great Seattle heritage business with nearly 400 employees. They were all set to
go. We're just sad, you know? We've made a lot of plans, a lot of preparations. Our employees were excited about it. And then suddenly we're specifically contacted by the governor's office by email yesterday and by a phone call directly today saying you cannot open.
That's Steve Palmer with Brown Bear talking to Cairo 7's Gary Horker. So we'll talk to the owner, but it just illustrates that this isn't about health anymore. This is not about public health. And that is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Our friend Todd Herman at 770 KTTH, he had a rather incredible interview on his show. A local mayor who's been telling people one thing, but ordering his cops to do something very different. And Todd busted this mayor live on the air. Todd's going to join us live to tell the story. You're not going to want to miss this. It's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. I've been checking your text messages at 98973. A lot of you have made a really good point. The worst part about Earl Thomas being naked in bed with his naked brother and a couple of naked hoes, none of them were wearing face masks. Excellent points. Thank you for putting a fine tip on it. This morning, I was running a couple of errands, and I was talking to my friend Todd Herman, who does a great show, 6 to 9 a.m., 770 KTTH. And Todd joins us live because, Todd, you were explaining a story that you had this morning, and I realized as I started to look into it that you could tell the story much better than me because it's just absolutely fantastic what went down here. So welcome to the show, by the way.
No, it's great to be here, and I know I get to have you on my show tomorrow at the 8 o'clock hour. We do that every Friday, so it's a double treat.
Yes.
Yeah, really bizarre, Dory. I came into possession of some audio, and it is apparently a conversation between the mayor of Gig Harbor, Kit Kuhn, and some other folks. And what happened was last weekend, there were folks who were gathering signatures for the referendum to put the perverse sex ed law on the ballot so that people can actually vote on whether or not they want this stuff shoved into public schools. And they held a sign.
Just so people, let me jump in for one second. I know this is something you talked about a lot on your show. I talked about it a lot on mine, that our state superintendent of public instruction helped push through the most radical sex ed plan in the United States of America. And there are thousands and thousands of parents who are outraged and they want to do something about it. So that's kind of the backdrop as to why they were gathering signatures, correct?
Correct. And there was a church that was kind enough to host them to gather these signatures. And they practiced social distancing. They trained folks on how to do that. And some neighbors became concerned because there were folks gathering in a parking lot. And apparently they called the police. And the story became this, that the people at the church said, hey, we were told that we were to shut this down and that the police were involved. And I've got multiple people now emailing me saying on the spot, we were there. It's our understanding the police had shut it down. But the message had been, no one did that. And that's been the message of Kit Kuhn. I also talked to the police chief of Gig Harbor, who I think was genuinely surprised to know that I had this audio. I presented to the mayor. I had the mayor give his say. He said, no, we didn't tell anybody to shut it down. We made some suggestions and chatted with people. And then I turned to this audio and confronted him with something that he said in private when he wasn't on the radio. And his own saying that,
Let me just ask. So one of your listeners obtained an audio of the mayor saying something in private that was 180 degrees from what his public proclamations have been.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And so I confronted the mayor with that audio. I mean, his own voice saying something that is not what he's been saying in public. And it was, Dory, it was a very, very awkward conversation from that point on out because it involved a lot of backpedaling. And I don't know if we've got any of the audio to play for your listeners because I want them to hear the mayor's voice.
Yeah, okay. And so you on the air confronted him with his own voice saying privately something totally different from what he's been telling the public. And here was Todd. And I don't think there's anything awkward about this. I think this is radio journalism at its absolute finest when you can catch a public official in a bold-faced lie like this.
The email I'm looking at says the goal is to encourage...
I can't see, Mayor, I can't see the email, so let's deal with the audio.
Okay.
That's you and that's your voice saying that the police chief told them they had to stop.
I did say that, but the email that the chief provided me says encourage whomever held the fence to refrain from doing so.
Right.
So that is
Mayor,
that is the statement. I understand what I had said before, and I should have said encourage.
So when you were talking on the phone, and I've obtained the audio of this, you said the police chief told them they had to stop. So which one is correct? Did the police chief tell them they had to stop or not?
No. He did not. I stand corrected from what I said. He encouraged whoever held the event to refrain from doing so. That's what I meant.
Okay. So what do you make of all that, Todd?
Well, I mean, what I make of it is that he was saying one thing in private and one thing when he didn't know he was going to be observed by voters. And quite another thing when he was talking in private to someone that where he apparently wanted these people to think that he did this. And there are a lot of Democrats in one main person in particular. I believe his name is Dwayne Scott. I believe that's his name, who is a city councilman up there saying, oh, this is a manifestation of the right and this is overblown and this never happened. There are people saying, oh, this is folks just trying to get attention, etc. But Dory, when do you think someone is being the most candid? When they know they're being watched and they're in a media setting, or when they don't know they're being observed, right? That, when do you think they're going to give you the honest sort of assessment of what they thought happened?
Well, of course. And why this is such a significant story, and let me ask you, because I don't know anything about Gig Harbor Mayor Kit Kuhn. Is he a Democrat?
Yeah, so my understanding is, yeah.
Okay. So the reason this is such a significant story is we now have proof that that we have a Democrat mayor who has ordered, at least according to his own words, that you recorded.
I want to cut in a little bit because... Yeah, I don't think it's ordered. I think what he says in the recording is the police, you know, the police chief asked him to stop. And what he says is, I believe the police chief asked him to stop. The other thing that is in the recording, and we ran on our show, and you can get the podcast at ktth.com. You can hear it for yourself. He says at one point that the people at the church pushed back and said, no, we're within our constitutional rights. Dory, if they weren't told what to do, why would they say, hey, we're within our constitutional rights? So I think what we have is proof that behind the scenes, the mayor said one thing and people had to leave that church.
And whatever his, you know, whether it was an order or what, but we have government officials between the mayor and the cop that discouraged citizens who wanted to stand up against something they find to be very radical that our legislature passed, and that's what the referendum process is all about. And we have government in the guise of coronavirus shutting down a very important tool of the people. And that's why I just applaud you, Todd, for exposing that and, you know, shining a light on this.
Well, I appreciate that, Dory. I mean, you've made a career of doing this and being the watchdog of government. And I'll tell you this, one great thing that's come from this is I have the mayor on record now. This is not going to happen again. People want to go to, parentsforstateschools.com, get that referendum and sign it and distribute it in Gig Harbor. They're not going to shut that down. I also confronted the police chief with this audio. The police chief of Gig Harbor was very surprised, it seemed to me, to learn that the mayor had said this in the background when people weren't listening. The police chief is on record saying, we will not interrupt this at all. This is protected speech. So that is now welcomed in Gig Harbor. And this is what happens when you can shine the light on something.
It's good stuff, man. All right. Congratulations on getting that. Thank you for helping keep politicians as straight as we can. Sometimes we're trying to hold the ocean back with a broom here, Todd, but I appreciate it. You can hear Todd Herman every morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on 770 KTTH. You can see get his whole podcast on the 770 page via My Northwest. Thank you, Todd. We have lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Does anybody still believe that the main motivation of our government with crashing the economy, does anyone still believe that their number one motivation for it is public health? Because I no longer believe that. I did the first couple of weeks. I played along with it. I agreed with much of the early decisions. I continue to agree. I hope we will have a huge percentage of the population continue to work at home for as long as it works for companies. And I think people who want to stay at home because they're in a health risk should absolutely do so. But I do not think that public health is the number one consideration. You know, Jay Inslee, we're going to see maybe a 30% contraction in the private economy. It could even be worse, some people believe. But we could see about a 30% contraction, shrinking, in the private economy. They're going to have a $7 billion state budget deficit. And our constitution, state constitution, requires a balanced budget. And so, Jay Inslee, how much has he cut? Knowing that there's a $7 billion hole coming, by his own admission, he has not cut one penny from the state budget. I bet your family has. if you're hurting financially. I know that business owners have made massive cuts. But Jay Inslee has not cut one penny, even though they're staring at a $7 billion hole. So why is that? Well, there's only one possible answer, and it's massive tax increases. And if you know anything about economics, if you raise taxes in a recession or a possible depression, then things completely, then we're looking at nuclear meltdown of the economy. So, but Jay Inslee, he wants state income tax. And I truly believe that that is now his top priority with the closing of the economy. And I'll give you another example. You know, Dow Consting, they bought for $4 million a ramshackle motel down in Kent. They said they were doing it for the health crisis, but it's because they want to just expand homeless housing. And they are using the health crisis to expand their social justice causes. Down in Los Angeles, I'm not making this up, the Los Angeles City Council has talked about, they've used the word commandeering any hotels that do not allow the homeless to stay in any empty rooms. One of the hotels is the Ritz-Carlton, which has some hotel rooms and some multi-million dollar condos. Can you imagine paying, you know, $2-3 million for a condo, and then all of a sudden a heroin addict is forced by the government into the unit next to yours? This is what's at play here. Be aware. And the Fastest 15 is next.